Hey, what do you do when you want to know something? Who said that? Google it. So I did. I went to Google and I asked this question of Google: who gives the best advice? I put that in and I got some results on the first page, Quora.com and BusinessCollective.com and PsychologyToday.com and Inc.com and IMDb.com. Not sure why that came up. But anyway, BrainyQuote.com and FearlessCulture.design and MoveMeQuotes.com. Well, I thought maybe I better try again. So I tried, where should I look to get the best advice? And it came up with Quora.com and MakeUseOf.com, New York Times. I don't know about that. WiseBread.com, WikiHow, Trivi Global, and Medium.com, PsychologyToday.com, CNBC.com. I don't know. So then I decided I'd try one more time. And I put in, what book has the best advice? The first result that came up from Quora.com said this: the Bible is the best book that gives the best life advice. Amen. And I said, amen. How come I had to put it in three times to find that out? Listen, the Bible does give us the best advice for life. There are lots of people that are looking for advice, that are looking for counsel. By the way, I put that into, where do you look for counsel? And I got a whole page of lawyers. But where are we going to get the best advice for life? The help that we need, the instruction that we need, from God's Word. And this morning, I'd like for us to look at a time when somebody needed to hear for the truth from God's Word. And so we turn to Jeremiah chapter 37. And we'll just read the first two verses initially, which tell us this. Jeremiah 37 verse 1. Now King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Kaniah, son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants, nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord, which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. That's terrible. Now, of course, you got the picture here. This nation is all, the nation of Israel is already under Babylonian control. Nebuchadnezzar is the one who's calling the shots at the very top. And then you've got King Zedekiah, who's serving as the king over Judea, and he is not paying any attention to the Lord. But things are not going well. And Zedekiah gets into a jam. And all the scripture told us at the beginning of the chapter that they would not listen to the word of God given through Jeremiah. We find that he then comes to Jeremiah secretly. This is in verse 17. And because he had trouble, then Zedekiah, the king, sent and took him out, Jeremiah. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? When he got into trouble, when he was in a jam, then he wanted to know, is there any word from the Lord? And I'm glad for the next part where it says, and Jeremiah said, there is. There is help from the Lord. There is a word from the Lord. When people get in a jam, that's when they want to know what God says about life. Now, that's why we need to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. Okay? The importance of having a good devotional life. We need to turn to the Bible more than we turn to Google. Yes, indeed. I better try that again. We need to turn to the Bible more than we turn to Google. Amen. In fact, the Bible ought to be where we first go in the morning. Now, I'm thankful for Google. I'm thankful for a lot of information that it's available through there. But I want to tell you this. If Google replaces the Word of God in your life, you're in trouble.
Yes, you are.
We need to have time with the Word of God in our lives on a daily basis. Now, what we find is that in Scripture, we will find the help that we need in order to live life. And besides that, we can find the help that other people need. Now, they won't ask anything while everything's going along well, but when they get in a jam and when there's trouble, they may come to you secretly and say, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And I trust that you will be able to say, "Yes, there is," just like Jeremiah was able to say. Let's take one of those things that we need to know about, asking, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And that is the issue of salvation. There is no other way for salvation than through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's very clear. Our world is terribly confused. All kinds of stuff that's out there today. But I want to remind us that the Word of God has the word for salvation. If we turn to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. If we confess our sins," this is 1 John 1:9, "he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There is only one way to salvation, and we need to share that with people around us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there any word from the Lord regarding assurance of salvation?
Yes.
There is. In 1 John 5:9, we read these words, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater." Aren't you glad of that? "For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life."
Amen.
Hallelujah. "He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." That's pretty clear. "These things I've written to you," this is what John says, "to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Well, what about if we ask the question, how should I then live life? What if we're confused about wrong and right? How about Philippians 4:8-9? "Finally, brethren, Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Now we could just start right there. You remember those bracelets and that stuff that a number of years ago with the WWJD? How many of you remember those things? Okay, what would Jesus do? Which, by the way, comes from a book, the same title. We need to live our lives in that manner. What would Jesus do? Or we can also go over to 2 Peter verse 1. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what you need to do. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Or, for if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or we can jump over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, these are the things, how we should live our life and what is right. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The word flesh here is not referring to our skin and bones. It is referring to our carnality, old sinful nature. Crucified with its passions and desires, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And God will guide and direct us regarding right and wrong.
Amen.
The preacher, what happens if I'm putting up a stiff fight? It's difficult some places to be a Christian, right? Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because that is our battle, because we are in a stiff fight, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There is a word from the Lord.
Amen.
But preacher, what if I'm tired? What if I'm discouraged? Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then else will we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? For it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord! We're on the winning side. Don't give up. Hold steady. Pastor, I'm facing a crisis in my life right now. Is there a word from the Lord? The answer is yes, many. But we'll go to Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, they are today. The kingdoms were moved, but he uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Preacher, one of the crises I'm facing is lack of money. Got ahead of myself here. What happens then? Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious, the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Later in the psalm it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. But preacher, you know that sometimes there are some setbacks in life. Well, that's true. In fact, in Jeremiah, the text that we were reading this morning, that's exactly what happened. Now, Jeremiah had been put in prison, falsely accused and falsely charged. It was not his fault that he was there. But there he was. But there was trouble that Zedekiah had, and he came to him. And Zedekiah secretly asked him about a word from the Lord, and Jeremiah gave it to him. Then Jeremiah said, hey, wait a minute. What have I done wrong? What's the situation? And Zedekiah, recognizing that, moved him out of the prison and into the court and ordered that they feed him every day. Now, what was interesting is the city was experiencing famine and a lack of food. And God took that situation for Jeremiah and turned it around for his good. And he was fed at the expense of the kingdom. I'm reminded of Romans 8:28 that says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Even in the setbacks of life, we can consecrate and give those over to the Lord, and he can use those to bring good out of them. But preacher, sometimes it looks like evil is winning everywhere in the world. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, which in the manifest evidence of the righteous judgments of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The last chapter hasn't come, but we can read about it in his word. We hold steady. We are reminded the scripture tells us that before the coming of the Lord, things will get more evil and they will get worse. Look up to the eastern sky. Yes, but preacher, what happens when it looks like things are going from bad to worse? Is there a word from the Lord? And the answer is yes, there is. 2 Thessalonians 3. Excuse me. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things that we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Thank the Lord. Amen. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. You will find it in the Bible. Amen. We need to make sure that we are turning there for our help, for our hope, for our encouragement. But I want to remind you this is not the end. Alluded to it before, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us this. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Thank the Lord, therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 John chapter 3 says this, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We're going to hold steady. We're going to keep on going. We're going to be looking up and looking for Jesus to come. There are some difficult times. There's trouble that comes in life. But we find our hope, we find our help from the Word of God. We find through the strength of the outpouring of His Holy Spirit, the internal energy and strength to keep going forward, walking in faith as we look forward to that day when our Lord Jesus Christ shall appear. He is coming.
Yes, He is.
And we want to be ready.
Amen.
And be found faithful. Amen. Will you stand with me? We want to thank you so much, Lord, for giving us your word. We have the Bible. We have it so freely today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to find our advice, find our counsel, find our encouragement, find our hope, find our strength in the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God points to the living Word of God. And we thank you for living with us. Now this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd be with that one that's discouraged, that one that's facing trouble, that's one who's concerned that it looks like evil's winning everywhere. They may feel that things are going from bad to worse, maybe feeling financial problems, whatever those difficulties may be. Would you come alongside and remind them you're on the throne? And one of these days we'll see you face to face, and it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I pray for your blessing on your people this morning. As we go from here, may we go walking in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.